Blog Talk Radio.
Shabbat Shalom, Israel. Shabbat Shalom. This is a day that the Most High has made. So let us go before our Father in prayer before we begin our show. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning thanking you for this tremendous gift called life. For we know that before we were even formed in our mother's bellies that you knew us and you placed us here with purpose. And we glorify you today for that purpose. For we know that all things work together for the good of them that love you and that are called according to your purpose. And we being Israel, the children of Israel, we understand and we know that we are here to worship you, to glorify you, to exemplify all that's good, and you are good. You are the only thing that is good. So we bow down to worship you. We acknowledge you this morning, and we pray that the things that above will be below, that we seek you. Give us the courage and the ability to accept your will being done on earth as it is in heaven, that we might be able to stand. We know no weapon formed against us can prosper, but you told us after we've done all we can to stand, we've got to stand anyway. So I come rebuking every spirit of fear, discouragement, disappointment, and that we will learn to just stand in you, worship you in the midst of all storms, knowing that all things do work together for the good. And we must praise you and thank you for all things, for we know that our footsteps are ordered by you. So I pray that your word comes forth with clarity, with anointing, that we might stand and take our rightful place. But we know that that recompense, that day is coming, that day of reckoning, that you're coming back to restore your children, the one that you breathed into, the ones that you created, the ones that you formed, not these other gods, these false gods, these hybrids, Esau, these Edomites, but your people, the children of Israel, they will be restored. We worship you, we praise you in advance, and we glorify you. And it's in the name of my brother, Yahushua HaMashiach, that I pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Welcome, welcome, family and friends, brothers and sisters, to another edition of SCAN's Glory Mountain Shabbat Show. This is a particular show that we dedicate to just encouraging one another, edifying Christ, exhorting words of inspiration and coming strictly from the Word, the Bible. This is not a day for a show that's based on paranormal, prognosticators, false prophecies or true prophecies, current events, health topics. This is a day where we get into the Word, for we know that man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Most High, Yahuwah, our God, our Father, who created us. It's good to be back with you. We took some time off for a while, but quick little praise report that Social Change Action Network has been very much busy here in the Bay Area. We are here in California and been very much busy, able to continue our efforts as a non-501c3, because we do not comply with government standards or look to them to give us any particular handouts. But even in being in this fashion, this capacity, when we've been able to sequester grant funding from a major corporation, I don't think I even want to call the name, but a major corporation, and we were able to funnel the money that we sequestered into a music school in the Bay Area that's afforded us the opportunity to provide two music scholarships for some of our inner city children, some of our youth that are in a depraved area, Richmond, California, which you've probably heard about in the news before on many occasions. And, you know, I'm an advocate that music education is very important, which is why they're trying to take it out of the schools, because music education, music has a way of firing up neurons inside of kids' brains and sparking their creativity and giving them the ability to know that something they feel and sense inside of them that they can put to music and they can express. It's another form of expression that allows them to see that things that they think of can materialize and inspire other people. And it's something that our children need, especially our children, the children of Judah, We know that Judah in the Hebrew means praise, and your praise involves you to be able to lift up your voice and be able to sing and make a joyful noise and to use music to do those things. So I give all praises to the Most High for affording us the opportunity to give those scholarships to those children to keep them moving. We're still in our programs to help people with job placement and also with feeding of the homeless and preaching the word of the Most High. It don't take a whole lot. You can make a change. If you look at the logo that we use for the Social Change Action Network, you've noticed that there's a picture of a pebble being dropped in a pond, and you can see that pebble is causing a rippling effect, and those waves from one little pebble can cause that rippling effect to just move out and to reach out. Never think that your efforts are minimal or that they don't make a difference. They do make a difference. And know that only what we do for Christ is going to last. So it's good to be before you. All praises to the Most High. I just want to talk to you today. And I'm glad that you've joined us. For those that are tuning in, those that may be tuning in later, listening to the archive show, I just want to kind of just encourage your hearts today. You know, I think it's important. A lot of people don't honor the Sabbath, which is the fourth commandment. They feel like I've heard some foolish people tell me every day is a Sabbath. I'm still waiting on them to go tell their boss every day is a Sabbath and take a day off work and see if they're going to get paid for it. Every day is not the Sabbath. This is your day of rest after you have labored and you have worked hard those 6 days. 7 days, your day of rest, and is the day of worship to give praise to the Most High and to honor Him. And it basically means, no, we don't work, we don't cook, we don't buy, we don't sell. But did Christ operate on the Sabbath? Yes, He did as His Father did. What did He do? He taught, He healed the sick, and He still went about His Father's business. So let us understand that when Christ said, I've come to redeem you from the curse of the law, He didn't say, I came to abolish the law. He said, I came to fulfill the law, to fulfill the law, the fulfillment of it. And to be redeemed from the curse of the law means to be redeemed from the curse that came along with not performing the law. And when people didn't perform the law in the past, you didn't keep the Sabbath, you were killed. You didn't keep the Sabbath, you were stoned to death. You were caught in adultery. You were stoned to death. If you were caught not maintaining some of these Levitical laws and Mosaic laws, you were killed. He came to redeem us from that. And we're not going to be sacrificing animals anymore. We don't go around sacrificing animals. Those are the things that He came to redeem us from the curse of the law, for He is our eternal sacrifice. But even Paul said, had I not known the law, I would not have known what sin was. So understanding the law helps to give us parameters of what sin is. To know not to place any other gods before our God, and not to be caught up into idolatry, and not to covet our neighbor's possessions or his wife, and not to commit adultery, and not to make any graven images. I could go on and on and on about keeping the commandments that give us parameters, but see, we are a lawless nation, which is why we are in the midst of these curses that have lasted for 400 years, and we're coming to the end of it. We're stiff-necked, hard-headed people. Yeah, I'm talking to the Israelites. And let me be clear. I do not preach replacement theology where I'm telling you, you are spiritual Israel. That is a lie from the pit of hell. You are Israel. You are not the Gentiles. You are Israel. You are Israel. And as I've posted on my Facebook at Be The Preacher, go to Deuteronomy 28, then go to Psalms 83, then go to Revelations 2 and 9 and Revelations 3 and 9. And after you've read all three of those chapters and scriptures, go somewhere and pray and allow the Holy Spirit to reveal things unto you and open your eyes, because I can't open your eyes. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say about revealing. Now, I am fully aware that some of y'all are not going to wake up until that time comes. Until that time comes. And the book of Joel speaks of that. And it also says that not all Israel will begin to wake up until the fullness of the Gentiles have come in. And that means the other nations that will come into the fold by being born again. Israel, we have to repent and come close to the Father and abide in His commandments. But the other nations, you must be born again. You've got to be born again, just as Nicodemus found out. I am going to be able to take phone calls a little bit later, so let me give the call-in number. That's 213-769-0910. That's 213-769-0910. Let me get back to those that don't have the king. You know, we've got some of you Israelites that don't even believe in the Messiah, Yahushua HaMashiach. And the word makes it clear. If you, I gotta tell it like it is today, because it's time for Esau to shut up, time for the Edomites to shut up, and it's time for Israel to preach and let the preachers preach. Judges 21 and 25 said that in those days, when there was no king in Israel, every man did what was right in his own eyes. And that's the problem we have today, that we have people that don't want to acknowledge Christ as their king and allow him to sit on the throne of their heart. So they do whatever they feel is right in their own eyes. And we have people justifying all of their sins under the cloak of grace, because they figure all I got to do is get up and go to church on Sunday and it'll be all right. Everything I did Saturday night and that I'm going to do right after I leave the church house, the pagan church house of deception, it'll just fall up under grace. Christ is expecting us to live a life of discipline, to take up your cross, to follow him, and to live holy. For holiness without, no man shall see Elohim, the Most High. No man will see him without holiness. How do we fall into holiness? By conforming ourselves, not to the world, but conforming ourselves to Scripture and to the life of Christ and to the commandments. If you keep my commandments, you'll live. He gives the Holy Spirit to those that keep his commandments. You don't have the Holy Spirit because you're bucking and you're running around slapping three people, talking about I'm walking into my season. You're not walking into nothing but deception. He gives the Holy Spirit to those that keep his commandments, to love their neighbor as you love yourself, to follow his word. If you're not keeping the commandments, you don't have the Spirit. And without the Spirit and without holiness, you're not going to see him. Your lamps are not full. You can't stand. You're not going to make it. You don't have any fruits of the Spirit. You don't bear fruit. Israel, we got to wake up. We have to wake up. I'm not going to say church. We got to wake up. We're part of the ecclesia. The church is the body of Christ. Those that have been scattered across the four corners of this earth that are awake. Let me say that are awake and realize who he is. You know, the scripture I read in Judges was talking about the tribe of Benjamin, and they were without wives, and they thought they'd go up to Jabesh Gilead and hide in the bushes and catch those virgins that would come out to dance and just snatch wives, because they had all agreed that they didn't want to see this particular tribe perish because they didn't have spouses to reprocreate of their kind. But here's the amazing thing. They decided to figure this thing out for themselves. And what I'm taking from that is that people without a king, and that is Moloch in the Hebrew, one that sits on the throne, people without a king will do whatever they feel is right in their own eyes. Even if you look in Judges 17 and 6, before I expand on that, and even in Judges 17 and 6, it talks about Micah and the idols that were being built at that time. It says Micah had a house of gods, small g, and made an ephod and a teraphim and consecrated one of his sons who became his priest. Because in those days, there was no king in Israel. But every man did that which was right in his own eyes. We see this happening over and over again, where when there is no king, man will do what he thinks is right in his own eyes. And we know the heart is wicked and deceitful. And we know about the lust of the eye, pride of life, and the lust of the flesh. If you want to deny my Messiah, that tells me that you're going to do whatever you feel is right and that you are lawless. And it's lawlessness that has gotten us into the predicament that we are in today. It's lawlessness that's caused us to be in the state, in the suffering, the condition we're in today. And that's why we're always looking for a quick fix or a motivational speaker to try and help us feel better about our condition. and our condition we brought on upon ourselves because we decide to do anything, live any kind of way, eat whatever we want. And you know why we do this? Because we're trying to conform to be like Esau, the Edomites, the people of the world who do not, who were not born with the spirit of the Most High in them. And we're conforming to this world instead of conforming to Christ and what he has created. I hope you're hearing me. I hope you're hearing me. See, I love this word. I love this word. Can't stray away from it. Can't stay away from it. Can't stray away from it. Today I feel like Christ, when he went to the temple and he put the cords together and drove the people out of the house of his father because they had desecrated the temple. Yeah. You know, I want to look at something. I'm going to go to John today. I want to go to John, the fifth chapter, because that was a Sabbath day. And John 5 and 14 talks about afterward Jesus findeth the man that he had healed that had been sitting at the pool for many years that would wait for an angel to come and trouble the water to walk into the pool. Jesus told him to rise, take up your bed, and walk. Well, in the 14th verse, he talks about how Jesus said, wow, you've been made whole. Now that you're whole, don't go sin no more. Don't sin any more. It's amazing that Christ can heal you of your affliction and you'll go right back into that very thing that was the cause of your affliction. Some of y'all got high blood pressure. You get healed from it, don't have to take no pills, and then you want to go eat a whole pig. Bacon, side of bacon. Salt on everything. Salt on your watermelon. Yeah, Jesus healed me. What kind of sense does that make? And then you try to simplify that and say that's not sin. You're sinning against your body because you have been told that is high sodium content that could elevate your blood pressure. Why would you tempt God like that, the Most High? He said, go sin no more, lest a far worse thing come unto thee. There are many examples I could give for this because the Word tells us that many people have been delivered from demonic spirits, and when you're set free, and whom the Son sets free is free indeed, that Satan will come back with more demons, find that your temple is swept and clean, and will try and occupy the temple again through temptation and lust of the flesh and lust of the eye. That's why I go back to saying, if there's no king in your heart, you'll be tempted to do whatever you want to do. And when you become lawless and lose your discipline, you open yourself up to demonic spirits when you begin to side with the world and conform to the world because you want to take a day off and kick it and chill because you've been told you got grace and mercy. How long will we abuse grace and mercy? The man departed and told the Jews that it was Christ which had made him whole, and therefore those so-called Jews persecuted Christ and sought to slay him because he had done those things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and so I work. It's just as I mentioned. God is always searching to and fro. Let me skip down to 19. Then answered Christ and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. John 5 and 21, for as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth, in the Greek that quickeneth means to bring to life, and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth, bringeth to life, whom he will. 22, for the Father judgeth no man. The Father judgeth no man. If you ever watch the judge, he's not the one. He renders the sentence. After the jury comes back with the verdict, the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, Why hath he committed judgment to the Son? For the Son said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. He is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. But listen to this. He hath committed all judgment unto the Son. All judgment. Judgment, that word judgment in the Greek is krisis, where we get the word crisis from. Crisis, where we get the word crisis, and also damnation and justice. So he's rendered the opportunity for justice in the midst of crisis. That's in the hands of Christ. And you want to deny Christ, Hebrew Israelite, even you so-called pagan Christians, you don't even know who Christ is. You have an image that you worship, that you look to. You've been told a story about how on Friday he died, and 2 days later he rose, early Sunday morning. All these lies, it's ridiculous. The reason he committed all judgment unto the Son goes to the 23rd verse, that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. So how are you going to honor the Father and not honor the Son? Listen to this. He says, he that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him. How are you going to honor Yahuwah, Yahweh, Yah, and deny the Son and think you're going to make it? Verily, verily, I say unto you, 24th verse, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. That means crisis or damnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute a crisis, to execute damnation, to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Listen to this. And shall come forth. They that have done good shall come unto the resurrection in life, of life. And they that have done evil, I'm talking about you grace operators that constantly practice evil. You just go to church on Sunday, your little churches on Sunday, and listen to those pagan pastors that went to those schools to get an education to keep you blind and keep you separated. But you're constantly working evil and not coming into change and transformation because you feel like all I got to do is be dipped, put my name on the roll, and it's all good. But you have no discipline. You follow no commandments. You're lawless. You do not honor a king, and you do whatever is right in your own eyes, and you justify it all the time because you're deceived. Now listen, they that have done evil, they will come unto the resurrection of damnation. 30, I can of mine own self do nothing as I hear. I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. So therefore, even when Christ judges, he doesn't do it of himself. He does it according to the will of the Father. This is why we pray, not my will, Father, but your will be done. This is why you heard me pray in the beginning of the program. Give us the courage and ability to accept your will being done. There are things that transpire all around us that we have no answers for. We can't understand. But do you love him enough to trust his process and to trust him for where he's taking you? He closes one door to open another. But I know there's hell in the hallway. Yeah, when that door closes and you're getting ready to walk to the next door, there's hell in the hallway. Can you stand and trust him enough to open the next door? Ha! If you learn to keep his commandments and walk in his statutes and his ways, for he did not abolish those commandments of the Mosaic laws and things of that nature, you will see the blessings of the Most High and can ask whatsoever you will, and it shall be done. But to live any kind of way and live like the world, to do what they do for peace,
to do what they do for relaxation, to do what they do for enjoyment, to do what they do just to make it through. You're not living according to this word. 31, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Yea, sent unto John, and he bare witness unto truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say that ye might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, talking about John, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. Oh, John the Baptist, but I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. None of you have heard his voice or seen his shape. I'm tired of folks saying, I had breakfast with the Most High today and he spoke to me. But God told me to tell you, shut up. God ain't told you nothing. Listen to what Christ said. And ye have not his word abiding in you. For whom he hath sent him, ye believe not. Search the scriptures. Listen to this. Search the scriptures. Now, he was talking to those Pharisees and Sadducees at the time, but we got you Pharisees and Sadducees dwelling in the temple now and walking around here, and you prideful, upright Hebrew Israelites, and you paganistic Christians that think you got it all. Listen to this. Search the scriptures, the 39th verse, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. We got some folks that call themselves Bereans, and they think that their eternal life is in the fact that they search the scriptures and they brag about it. Oh, I got another revelation. Look what I hooked up. Look what I put together. Look what I saw. They're all on Blog Talk Radio and YouTube. Look what the Father showed me. I got precepts. I got precepts. Hooking up scriptures that don't even hook up. I'm line upon line. They ain't got no fruit. No fruit. Nobody's coming to Christ through their life. Not feeding the homeless, don't care about their brother, sister, own family member, bearing no fruit. Do not demonstrate the fruits of Christ in their life, or the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Look what he says. I'm going to read it again. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. These are the ones that go around by brag, testifying of Christ. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. Still denying Christ, want to testify of the Most High, all in the scriptures, don't even have proper teaching, proper guidance. Some of y'all do need pastors. Some of y'all ain't no fivefold. Y'all need pastors, you need teachers. You need preachers. Preachers proclaim, teachers instruct. And some of y'all are still on milk, and you're still baby sheep. But you don't want to humble yourself. So you want to say, I'm eating the meat. And some of you ain't got no business teaching or preaching because you're misguiding and misleading people and taking them down a path of damnation and destruction. Know that Satan preached in the Garden of Eden and was pretty much 95% truth until he got to the 5% lie. Ye shall not surely die. What is he saying? Christ, you will not even come to me that you might have life. I don't receive honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. There are people that don't even have the true love of God in them. They won't even honor Christ, accept him. They are self-righteous because of the works that they put in with their study time, and they brag about their study time and what they think they found. But they don't have the love of God in them. And I'm not talking about a wimpy love where you just constantly turn the other cheek and you skip and whistle and you just take every... No. Real love, agape love, chastens. It's strong. It's strength. It's discipline. It doesn't lie. It tells the truth, and nobody wants to hear the truth. The truth cuts. It hurts, and people will tell you, you mean, you evil. You ain't got love in you because you tell the truth. But if you love somebody, you will not let them falter. You will tell them the truth about what they're doing. Most of your friends are not your friends because they side with you because misery loves company and you party together. But I know you that you have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name and you receive me not. And if another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. I see this all the time. If somebody comes bragging about themselves, they will not come in the Father. But if they boast themselves, everybody's quick to receive them because we, as stiff-necked, hard-headed Israelites, we're always looking for a sign. And if we can see something that looks royal and grand and, oh, he's anointed. He got an anointment on him. Oh, look at it. Look how he dressed. Look at his suit. Look what he's driving. Ignorant. Listen to what Christ is saying. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another? How can ye believe which receive honor one of another? Giving honor to the most high potentate, bishop this and all that, and, oh, this is a great man, and this man, and he's got a number one bestseller, and he's got two movies out, and he's this. I don't want to hear all that. Care less what you've got, what you've done. It's going to be all dung. Christ says in the 45th verse, do not think I will accuse you to the Father, for there is one that accuseth you. Listen to this, even Moses, in whom ye trust, because they want to always throw up the law in Christ's face, and they want to trust in the law. So he said, look, even in Moses, whom ye trust, for had ye believed Moses, if you really believe the law, you so-called Hebrew Israelites, trust me, I know I'm an Israelite. I'm talking about some of these non-messianic that don't believe in Christ. Listen, he says, but had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me. For he wrote of me, for in the law was the shadow of Christ. And you got folks that tell you the Old Testament has been abolished, don't even read it. But how can you know the New Testament unless you understand the Old Testament if you read it? But in the Old Testament was the complete shadow of Christ, his coming, his death, burial, and resurrection. And you want to deny Christ because you want to deny the Old Testament. And then you got those that want to live all in the law and deny the New Testament and deny Christ. Then you got folks that's talking about, these crazy Torah people. Well, the problem they have with the Torah people is because some of the Torah people are looking for sanctification and righteousness through looking like a terrorist. I'm sorry, I had to say that. I'm sorry. Looking like Bin Laden or something like that. You're making sure your beard is long and putting on all these towels on your head and all that kind of stuff, or wearing a robe and your borders are blue and your fringes. And yeah, there's grace for that. There's a lot of things we're not going to be able to fulfill and do. Because we've got to live and occupy in this land. But for had ye believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? Meaning that everything Moses wrote in the Ten Commandments that came along, that has not been abolished. You've got to believe that in order to believe what Christ is saying. He makes it clear right there. Nobody wants to hear that. Nobody wants to adhere to that. The word is it's clear. I don't even have to eisegete, add into the text my own interpretation. Scripture interprets scripture. I'm going to read those three verses again. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, whom you trust. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stick with the book of John for a second. I'm going to go to John 12. Let's take a look at something. John 12, 37. Check this out right here. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. That the saying of Isaiah, and we're tying in the Old Testament, New Testament, people saw Christ do so many things. That it said that if all the miracles had been recorded that Christ done, the books would not have been able to contain it. Not to mention the books that they took out the Bible, the Apocrypha, which they don't want you to read because so much Bible prophecy is being fulfilled that's in the Apocrypha. Go get you an Apocrypha and read the book. Stop letting people tell you that that's not the inspired word of the Most High. It is inspired. When you read it, the Holy Spirit will tell you, and it will connect the dots for you. So now let's connect this Old Testament, New Testament with belief in Christ. But though he had done so many miracles before them, I'm reading from John 12:37, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. The Most High caused the hardness of the heart and the blindness of the eye, so that Christ might be able to heal. These things, 41st verse, these things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. You remember when Isaiah spoke and said, we'll read that. Let me continue reading this. When he was in the temple and he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and he said, here am I, Lord, send me. And when he saw the glory, it was in the day that, in the year the king Uzziah had died. 42nd, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him. Many people believed on Christ, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out the synagogue. Many of you don't want to believe this message that you're hearing about waking up to who Christ really is and the deception that's in the churches and the Bible, but you're worried about how you will appear before your family, that little church you go to, and nobody wants to be hated. And Christ told us that you would be hated as I am hated when you come up out of the world and you come up out of the church system, as Revelations told us, come out from among her, my people. That means come out from the ways of the world, come out from the paganistic church that is aligned with the Catholic Church through the 501c3 and being aligned up with the government. There are tenets and things that they have to adhere to just to be a 501c3 organization and ordain their ministers that line up with Catholicism. Wearing your little collars, all of you. We have the same thing happening today, that many people won't confess that he is Yahushua HaMashiach, and that we are the people, we are the nation, we are the lost tribes of Israel, and that we need to get back to the commandments and to the Father and out of denominations. So Christianity was beat on you during the transatlantic slave trade in the 1600s, 1700s. This Christianity was forced upon our people. Through the years, we have learned, because we are a resilient people that will acclimate ourselves to a process, and we will just conform. We will just conform because we want to be accepted, because we're such a lost people and we don't have our identity. What you are into right now has been, you've been brainwashed. It's been put upon you to keep you separate, because they know if you ever come together, you're a strong nation, you're a strong people, and the Most High will respond, because he said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then shall they hear from heaven, and I will heal their land. That land is the nation of Israel. This scripture in John 12 is amazing to me, and most people skip over it. It said, I'm going to read it again. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many of the chief rulers believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogues. There are people in higher places that want to believe, but they see the separation of the people, the fighting and the deception, and they don't want to be put out. Put out of the synagogues. I want to find something. Bear with me. Give me a second. Hallelujah. And when we talk about the being put out of the synagogue. In the Greek, it means being excommunicated. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of the Most High. Oh, that's John 12:43. A lot of people don't want to accept because they love the praises of men more than the Most High. We just read that in John 5 about how we worship and praise one another, and we long to aspire to higher heights in this world so that we might be praised by men. We want to be worshipped by men. We want to excel and floss and bling in front of everybody so that we can get our stuff right here now and be praised by men so we can leave a so-called legacy. Only what you do for Christ will last. It says it here, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of the Most High. And he made it clear after that. He said, he that believeth on me, Christ said, believes not on me but on him that sent me. And when you see me, you see him that sent me. I am come, a light into the world, that whosoever believes on me should not abide in darkness. Brothers and sisters, this word is real. It cuts and it pierces. Go with me real quick. I'm going to go to John 15. I hope somebody's being blessed by this. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Oh. Folks are being taken out of here, being cut off, being turned over because they're fruitless. But this is also the misunderstanding. Those that are bearing fruit, you're being purged. To be purged can be a painful process. To be pruned, that means you will go through things that will humble yourself, that you will continue to bear more fruit. And when you're stripped, you feel like you're being scourged or abandoned. That's Christ drawing you close to him, and you have to learn to find joy and count it all joy in him. When you're being pushed further and further out of the mainstream of the process, when people say, you're strange, you're weird. Now, I ain't talking about you crazy folks that's on medication. Yeah, I said crazy folks on medication. That's another show. We'll talk about sorcery, and we'll talk about Simon the Sorcerer, and sorcery in the Greek, in witchcraft, is pharmakia. And pharmakia is where we get the word pharmaceuticals, and that's why the whole world is stuck on medication and medicine, because it's driving you crazy, messing up the chemical process and neurons in your brain, and it's going to be hell to get off them drugs. And what happens is that we have a lot of folks that are suppressing suicidal spirits, oppression, depression, just demons through pharmakia, through witchcraft. And the witchcraft has got you following and marching to the beat of this world. What I'm talking about here are the ones who are fruitful. You see people coming to Christ. You see you're affecting change in society for the sake and glory of the Most High. And you wonder why things keep being stripped off you, because he's drawing you closer to him. Don't you want to walk like Enoch, who walked and he was no more? Because his whole desire was to follow after Christ, follow after the Most High, and to do his will? Angels were begging Enoch to petition for them. The fallen angels. Read the book of Enoch. The fallen angels were saying, oh, tell him we messed up. Tell him to give us another chance. Because they knew Enoch was the man. Brothers and sisters, what I'm trying to tell you is that the purging process doesn't always feel good. And what he's trying to do is sanctify you and cleanse you. Because he is Yahuwah Sitkanu, our righteousness. He sanctifies us. Nikodesh comes to sanctify you. And that purging process doesn't always feel good to the flesh. But there's something on the inside of your spirit where you know it feels good, because you can feel the fact that you're walking with your Father and with the angels that he's put in charge over you. And you're walking into blessings, and you're walking in his favor. And prayers are answered, and demons are scared of you. They tremble when you come. They say, Paul, I know, and you, I know. That's a purging process. of your carnal desires and your fleshly desires. It doesn't always feel good. But you that are fruitless, you just cut off. You're lost. You're blind. You know, you grace hoppers. Listen to the third verse. Now ye are clean through the word, which I have spoken to you, for the word comes to clean you up. That's how you get clean, by standing the word. Do you read your word every day? Do you listen to somebody preaching and teaching every day? Why not? You do everything else every day. You bathe, you eat, you watch TV, you entertain yourself, looking for Mrs. Wrong and Mrs. Right. You do all these other things, but you cannot get into your Father's word every day. This is what comes to clean you and sanctify you. I dare you to be in your Father's word every day and watch what happens to your life. You'll begin to look through the lenses of a holy father. Your stomach will turn at sin. Compassion will spark in your heart when you see the desolate, the hurting, and the downtrodden and the abandoned. Righteous indignation will raise up in you when you see injustice. The Spirit will speak to you before calamity happens. You will know warning. Who does not want to be in this place? Your pastor will make you think you can't be in this place and you need him. There are no levels in this thing, for the veil of the temple has been ripped, and you can boldly approach the throne to make your petitions known. I hope somebody's hearing me. The fourth verse, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. You tripping. If you're talking about you're going to come back to the Father, you're going to come back to Christ later. You just got to go get this money. Or you just got to go do this last thing. You're setting yourself up for destruction. My heart goes out to some preachers that have taken vacations to go do them and didn't make it back, as it just happened recently. This man left some babies here and a bunch of members. But it's because we can't keep preaching this message of prosperity. Slap three people, tell them I'm walking into my season. So sick of that mess. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire. That is what's going to happen to you walking away from Christ, denying Christ, not accepting what Christ has done for you, accepting that he came for the lost house of Israel. And if you can't accept that, you wither and you're thrown into the fire. You're walking around here like the living dead. You're no good. You're burning up. You're being consumed by the ways of the world. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Let me read that again so that you can have something to run around about. Listen, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done. Funny thing about the thing is that, funny thing about his words abiding in you and you reading the word every day is that it begins to change your desires. He said, I'll give you whatsoever your heart desires, but what happens is once you start getting the word inside you, your desires change. What you think you had to have, you don't have to have. What you think you need, you don't need. You only want what he wants you to have once you come into the knowledge of the word. Because the word tells us, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the word also tells us to put on the mind of Christ. And we do so by conforming to the image of his dear son.
wanting to be like him, walk like him. And you're not going to know him unless you study him and pray and find out who he is, not what they're telling you on Sundays. Because when he comes back, he's coming back as a man of war. He's fierce. He's true. He didn't play. No fear. Don't let somebody give you an image or depiction of who Christ is. Know him for yourself. 9 says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Listen to verse 10. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Don't you even dare try to say those commandments do not mean the commandments. You're an idiot if you're going to try to say that and try to convince somebody of that and lie and take that away. He said, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Who does not want to walk in his love? Problem is, and this is why I ain't got no time for nobody trying to convince me otherwise. Problem is that we didn't want to obey the commandments when he gave them as the children. Our forefathers didn't want to obey them when he gave the commandments to them. We broke them, which is what got us into these curses. What's to make me think that you all going to be able to keep them now? Because you didn't want to keep them then. Your forefathers didn't want to keep them. And that same spirit is inside you. That's why you got folks always trying to, I ain't got time for somebody who wants to have a debate with me, fight and convince me that they can live an easy life of non-discipline. Oh, we don't have to do that no more because it says right here. I can eat whatever I want because it says right here. You are an idiot, sir. You're looking for a way out, non-disciplined life, because you want to do whatever you want to do. Because just like it said in Judges 21 and 25, the king is not sitting on the throne of your heart. And when there is no king, as it was in Israel in those days, everyone does what's right in their own eyes. Keep my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends. Rejoice in this. Listen to this. Christ is saying this. Ye are my friends. If ye do whatsoever I command you, you're my friends. It's the only way to be his friend. Henceforth I call you not servants. We're not here to serve Christ. But we wait on the Most High. We wait on God. We wait on Yahuwah. And that doesn't mean to sit down in a chair and cross your legs and fold your arms. That means to stand up as a waiter in a restaurant with a towel and saying, how can I serve you and wait upon you? We don't serve Christ. We serve the Most High. We are a friend of Christ, for he is our brother, Yahushua HaMashiach. Henceforth, I call you no servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. But you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. You got to ask the Father in the name of the Most High Christ, our brother, Yahushua HaMashiach. Brothers and sisters, it's not enough to just be a Torah keeper, a commandment keeper. It's not enough. You are lost if you're just going to church on Sunday and you want to disavow any commandments or having to keep them or having to understand and know the Old Testament and saying it's abolished away with, or to even denounce and deny Apostle Shaul, Apostle Paul, and all his writings and what he meant. I trust that the Holy Spirit can open up and reveal to you everything that you need to know and understand about this word. You do not have to be confused because our Father is not the author of confusion. It's man that you listen to that causes the confusion because you're so quick to give glory and honor unto men instead of glory and honor unto the Father and the Son. You want to esteem somebody highly by their accolades and what they've accomplished. Oh, he got a doctor's degree. Oh, he got a book out. Oh, he drives a Bentley. He got a big house. Oh, he's very accomplished. Man looks on the outer, but God looks on the inner, and he takes the foolish things to confound the wise. He'll take something that doesn't make no sense to you and speak mysteries. A child can speak mysteries, blow your mind, but you don't have an ear to hear it. He'll take a man who just came off the streets and been addicted to crack for 17 years, sober him up, clean him up, and give him the gift of prophecy and cause him to predict what's coming accurately. It will be by faith and through the Spirit that you'll have to be able to receive him and his words. But most of us will not be able to do it because we're blinded by what we see and what we've heard about another person. Deception is all around us, brothers and sisters, and Satan promised that he would be worshipped in the earth. And he said what he was going to do in Isaiah 14 with his five-point plan. He's sitting up in your churches, got you worshipping gods of wood and stone. Stone, Islam. Wood, Christians, the cross. When he actually hung on a tree. And everywhere you see cross in the Bible, it's staros in the Greek. And staros means tree. And they've hung people from trees, and they don't want you to tie in the fact that they've been hanging slaves on the tree since they hung Christ on the tree. Edomites, Esau, that's what I'm talking about. Children of Satan, they go back to the children of Cain. I love you and I want you to be awake, but I know that it's a work of the Holy Spirit that does the awaking. It's not man. There's nothing that we can do to cause that to happen. Hey, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom. I want you to know that we can make it. We're going to make it. But you got to stand. I know a lot of folks tell you to go get your water, stock up your food, get your gun, get everything you need. But you need to know that he's not going to leave you nor forsake you. I got a few minutes left, and I think I want to read, let me read a little bit of this to you from the book of Joel to encourage the Israelites. I may have been a little hard earlier, but I want to read Joel. Joel, the third chapter. For behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, all nations. That's all races, nationalities. And I will plead with them there for my people, Israel. Those are his people. And for my heritage, Israel, whom they have scattered. All these nations have scattered among the nations and parted my land. And they have cast lots for my people and have given a boy for an harlot and sold a girl for wine that they might drink. Yea, and what have ye to do with me, O Tyre and Zidon, and all the coasts of Palestine? Will ye render me a recompense? And if ye recompense me swiftly and speedily, will I return your recompense upon your own head? Because ye have taken my silver and my gold and have carried into your temples my goodly pleasant things. That's when they destroyed the temple of Solomon and took it, all the nations. Took all of the riches and spread it amongst themselves. All this gold is still in Fort Knox. Joel 3 and 6, the children also of Judah, that would be us, and the children of Jerusalem have ye sold unto the Grecians that ye might remove them far from their border. Behold, I will raise them out of the place whither ye have sold them, slaves, and will return your recompense upon your own head, and I will sell your sons and your daughters into the hand of the children of Judah, and they shall sell them to the Sabians, to a people far off. For the Lord hath spoken it. Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles. Prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares and swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about. Thither cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the heathen be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come get ye down, for the press is full. The vats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall draw their shine. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. But the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. Hallelujah.
Remember, the only sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it. For truth is a journey, not a destination. When you come to the conversation, be prepared to take up your anchor so you can sail away into the knowledge of truth and not into the destruction of ignorance. Shabbat shalom. Till next time.